because he can't do kasher as a man lasot l'achiv.
Ah, so that's a very good question. I don't think it was really a court case. I don't know exactly how Rav Ashi blamed him, but there wasn't really a court case. It doesn't seem like there was really a court case. The Torah says that part of what's going to happen when the period of the curses come is just like Hashem was happy with you when things were going good. So Hashem says, "Ken yasis Hashem aleichem lehavid etchem veleashmid etchem." So to Hashem will make happy to make you lost, to destroy you. That's what the Pasuk says. So our sages say, notice how the Pasuk phrases it. Hashem says, just as Hashem was happy when you were happy, meaning when it's good for the Jewish people, God says, I am happy. So too Hashem will make happy, it doesn't say Hashem himself will be happy, to destroy the Jewish people when they have sinned. So here our sages say, we learn an important rule, that God does not rejoice at the destruction of even the wicked. Even when you have a person who is sinful, he's a rasha, and he's a terrible person. The Torah calls him a rasha. Still God says, the Jewish people sin, they deserve to be punished, they deserve to be lost from the land, banished, everything. Then the day God says, I'm not going to be happy about that. I will make others happy, your enemies, they'll rejoice. It's true, when the Jews were lost, so the enemies rejoiced. So God says, just as I was happy when things were good for you, so too I will make others happy when things go bad for you, but not that I myself will be happy. God isn't happy. And this is a basic rule, that God is not happy when things go bad for us. Even the Satan isn't happy when things go bad for us. The Satan says, they should overcome me. My job is to make things difficult. And their job is to win. I want to lose. I want to be a loser. I don't want to win. The Torah says, if you're walking on the road and you see the mule of your enemy, and it can't manage the load. He's falling down under the load, so help him out. So our sages say, who's this person that you hate? Well, it's the guy who beat you in blackjack. Who is it? Who do you hate? So our sages say, it's a person who are you allowed to hate? So the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Kim Sanecha Hashem, the people who hate you, Ani Esna, I hate them. People who hate Hashem, people who are fully sinful, willingly want to sin, people who hate Hashem, so a righteous person is supposed to hate them. But even that hatred is limited. Says the Torah, you see him going down the road, you see his mule is suffering, go help him unload the mule. Help. Even though he's your enemy and he's rightfully your enemy, he's a person who is sinning. Yeah?
What if there's someone who is wrongfully hate them? So, for example, they insult your mother, where's Eitan, makes us kind of and so then you hate them. So then, it's a wrongful hit.
Right. The Torah says, "Lo tisna tachicha bilvavecha." There's a
so
the Rambam explains that the prohibition is to maintain hatred in the heart. What you should do, and I rarely had someone do this to me, but when people did me, I appreciated it. Is you should tell them, "I want you to know that you did X, Y, and Z to me, and it upsets me, and I'm hurt by it, and I'm upset at you right now." We're not accustomed to doing that. The Western world is all about making nice, when inside you're putting daggers in his back. But the Torah says don't do that, because hatred only grows in a person's heart. So the Torah, we have a special prohibition, lo tisna techicha bilvavecha. One may not hate his brother in his heart. If he expressed it and still hates him, says the Rambam, so then he might be transgressing other things. But at least this prohibition he hasn't transgressed. This one he hasn't done, and the way to do it is to rebuke him. Tell him, look, you did this to me, and it's not right. Moshe Rabbeinu tells us that cursed is the one who doesn't fulfill this whole Torah. So, when Yeshua entered the land of Israel, they conquered the city of Jericho, and that was the first city they conquered. And Yeshua cursed, he said, whoever rebuilds the city of Jericho, when he lays the foundation, he should lose his first son. As he continues building, he should lose every son. Until he builds the doorpost, he should lose his last son. He should lose every child. in the time of Elio, during the period of kings, so there was a man by the name of Chiel, who he said, I'm rebuilding Jericho. So he started rebuilding Jericho, and he lost his first son, and he kept rebuilding until he built the doorpost and lost his last son. He was sitting as an avel, he was sitting mourning, and his good buddy, Achav, which according to one midrash, Achav gave him the advice to do it, Achav was sitting there, went to visit him Shiva. And Elio went to visit him Shiva. So they're sitting at the Shiva, and they turn to Elio, and they tell him, how do you explain this? Who's greater, Moshe or Yeshua? So Elio says, it's known, Moshe's greater. Moshe's like the sun, Yeshua's like the moon. Yeshua reflects what Moshe gave him, but Moshe's greater than Yeshua. So they said, how do you explain it that Moshe cursed in the Torah anyone who doesn't keep the Torah, anyone who serves idols? We're serving idols all over the country. Still raining, everything's good. Yeshua put a curse. He said, whoever rebuilds Yericho will lose all his kids. And Yeshua's curse came true. How does that work? So Elio said, Chai Hashem, I swear by Hashem, there will not be rain till I say so. From now on, no rain coming down. And a drought began. So Elio went into hiding. Achav was upset at him. This drought continued. And ordinarily, God says, I created the world. There are three things I don't let anyone control. Rain, bringing someone back to life, and the ability to have kids. Those are three keys God says I leave by me. So Elio, damt Hashem, said, give me one key. Let me control the rain. So Elio shut the valve, said, lock. No more rain till I say so. Everyone was suffering, and Elio was having ravens bring him, God made a miracle, and ravens were bringing him meat and food, and he's doing fine. So God said, this can't do. So God made the food stop coming, and he told Elio, go down to the city, you'll see a widow over there, she'll help you out. So Elio goes down to that widow, and the widow takes him in, and there's a miracle, she starts feeding him, and then her son dies. So she tells him, you did it. Till you came here, I was considered a pious woman. Now you came here, and God says, oh, next to him, what's she? So my son died. So Elio starts praying to Hashem. He says, let me bring the kid back. What's it her fault? I'm here. So Hashem says, I made three keys in this world. Right? There are three keys I don't give anyone. You asked for one, I gave it to you. Now if I give you another one, you'll have two and I'll have one. That doesn't look too good. I'm God, right? You can't have two and I'm left with one, so give me back one and I'll give you the other one. So Elio says, okay. And then God says, okay, now I got the key for rain, I'm going to make it rain. So you said there won't be rain till you say so. So go to Achav and tell him it's going to rain because now I'm going to make it rain. So God did this whole thing in order to get the key back for rain. Obviously there's more depth, we're discussing it like sixth graders, but okay, for 10:30 at night, 10:15 at night, we could discuss this like third graders. So the Gemara says that there was one Tana who Elio used to come to his Beis Medrash all the time. And when he recounted this story, he said, Elio has a temper. Elio gets upset. You see, Elio, Achav and Chiel taunt him. So he says, okay, no more rain. So he says, Elio has a temper. So Elio doesn't show up to his Beis Medrash. Day one, day two, day three, finally Elio shows up. So he asks Elio, why didn't you come until now? So Elio says, because you said I have a temper. You said that I get upset at things. So he told him, you see, you have a temper? 3 days you didn't come. So have a good job.